Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Associate CIO Richard Spires of the IRS. Also joining us in our conversation is Jeff Smith. Richard, how will IRS continue to implement modernization efforts in the coming years, and how will your office evolve over the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, as I was discussing earlier about the modernization vision and strategy, we will continue to drive modernization based on the realities of the budget. We're going to be looking at smaller, more incrementally based business value enhancements over time that really look to leverage existing systems along with building new as appropriate. I think, again, standing up this new applications development organization by bringing all this together into one organization will really help affect that. As far as how we're going to evolve, I think as we deploy newer technologies, we'll be working to retool our workforce and also to bring in new talent. But we've got to move into and start building more internal talent that understand many of the newer, in our case, development technologies.
You talk about that need for talent. How will the modernization efforts impact specifically the human capital needs at IRS over the coming years, either in terms of volumes of people, skills, knowledge management, those types of issues?
Well, it certainly is going to have a significant impact. We need to embark, my opinion, and we're setting up to do this within applications development, a recruitment effort to bring in new younger people. I mean, we haven't, like many places in government, we have an aging workforce, and it's of real concern to us as we move forward. But we also need to leverage the existing technical staff we have in new ways. And so we're going to be looking at how do we, through training programs and on-the-job training, retool some of our workforce so that they can both have, if you will, one foot in the legacy world of helping us maintain our legacy systems, but another foot in the modernization world. And again, through that, we hope to help drive modernization by through this new applications development organization.
What are some of the internal or external challenges you foresee in the future for the IRS? How do you plan on overcoming these challenges?
Well, we have quite a few challenges.
Maybe with respect to modernization.
With respect to modernization, it's always a challenge. Can we do enough fast enough, right, to continue to have support across the board with our constituents, right? We've had many false steps in the past with modernization. I believe in the last few years we've really turned a corner and we've been delivering well. The stand-up of CADE, as I alluded to earlier, the success we're having with modernized e-file. This past March 15th, we did very well with handling a significant increase in the volume of corporate returns that we received electronically. We really have, I think, done a much better job, but we're going to need continued support. One of the things that's interesting to me coming from the outside is the fact that here we're embarking on a modernization program that's a 10 to 15 year effort in order to replace those master files that I alluded to earlier. But of course, the way the government works, right? The government isn't used to dealing with time horizons of that long. And we need commitment and to see that through. And that crosses administrations,
yeah.
Right? I mean, it's something that has to be there in multiple administrations if we're going to be successful in actually seeing this through.
Well, how do you envision the IRS operating in 5 to 10 years or even 25 years? I mean, as modernization becomes successful.
Well, I think the IRS is a financial services institution, right? And as the heart of it. And so if you were to compare where we're at versus the bank you deal with today or perhaps the stockbroker that you use, almost everyone today is looking from the standpoint of the financial services firm is to looking to move to as much of a self-assist, self-correct kind of model as possible, right, via the internet. And we should be doing the same. And we're finally starting to take real strides in that regard. Our e-services suite of tools not available to the general public but available to tax practitioners, has been of major value to them. So a tax practitioner that has the right, the security access to have the ability to view a particular account, they can actually request and receive transcripts within minutes over the web, which used to take weeks to receive via the regular U.S. Postal Service. Huge change, huge paradigm shift in the way the IRS operates. We've embarked on some programs now that are going to bring that kind of capability to the individual taxpayer. And I think that's going to be another paradigm shift. And just as you when you start dealing electronically with your bank, pretty soon you want to do everything you can through the internet with your bank, right? We expect to see the same kind of dynamic. We hope the same dynamic will happen so that we're over 50% individuals now e-filing. We believe with some of these other kinds of self-assist, self-correct, web-based capabilities that we'll be rolling out in the next few years to the individual taxpayer, that will shift even more taxpayers to e-filing. So we see a moving to a more all-electronic type of paradigm in dealing with our constituents is where we want to head.
Well, you're talking a lot about how you interact with your customer segments. I mean, do you see any other types of changes in the time frame of like 5 to even 10 years?
Well, I mean, right now, because of the systems internally that we have, the master files and the like, those still run on a weekly batch cycle, if you can believe it. So that, and in fact, it's such that with some of our systems, it literally takes them 2 weeks to cycle so that we can assure that the information has been properly recorded on the master file in your account. Well, I mean, a financial services firm today can't operate on a 2 week cycle, right? I mean, the customers demand pretty much real time updates of their accounts, right?
The worst 24 hours,
right? And we're moving to that paradigm. The replacement of the master file with K breaks that paradigm, where we do things on a daily basis. And as we move forward with this and start to add to K what we're calling the internal account management functions. So as our customer service reps that will deal with our taxpayers on the phone, as they begin to use CADE, they'll be able to do updates on a real-time basis. So now we want to move to an environment over the next 5 to 10 years so that there's an authoritative source of data on your account as a taxpayer so that when you contact the IRS, whether it be over the web or whether it be via the phone, and you ask a question about your account and you get an answer, it's absolutely correct. Because right now, with the way our systems work, it's not a guarantee except for that two-week cycle to pass. And we really need to break that paradigm. Once we've done that, okay, that now really brings us into a modernized environment and how we're operating.
Correct. Similar to the financial institutions you just referenced a minute ago.
That's correct, Jeff.
Richard, you have a very unique background in that you spent most of your career in the private sector and only have recently come over to the public service. What advice could you give to a person who's interested in a career in public service?
Well, I've been in the IRS and public service now for 2 years, and I can't say that I enjoy every day. And I have my frustrations. I'm really enjoying my time in public service, and I believe for individuals, for instance, those coming out of school today or other technologists, there are some exciting opportunities. It's hard for me to speak generally of all the government, but certainly in the IRS I can speak to the fact that we are doing, I believe, some leading-edge work now, and we're implementing systems. And this is exciting for me. We're implementing systems that can truly affect tens of millions of people. And there aren't too many other places that you can talk about that you can work on systems that have that kind of impact. And so I think it's an exciting time. And I believe that there are a lot of growth opportunities for those that want to make a career in public service, even for those in the technology field. And we need leadership, right? So I think it's one of those things, if you're looking to make a career, I believe government can be a very good place to start because we're looking for those leaders, and I think we're being much better about trying to identify that talent earlier in their career and bring them along. because we recognize, particularly with the demographics that we face, we need to do that.
Great, great. We've reached the end of our time, so that'll have to be our last question. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today. But more importantly, Jeff and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country in the various roles you've held at the IRS and in the information technology industry.
Well, thank you very much, Al and Jeff, and I appreciate you inviting me onto the program.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Richard Spires, Associate Chief Information Officer at the Internal Revenue Service. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.